Eureka by John Thomas, Volume 1, Chapter 1, Section 5, Part 2. I was in spirit. While conditioned thus, he tells us that he came to be in spirit. Egenomen en pneumati. By reference to Ezekiel, we find that when he was about simply to deliver a prophetic discourse, he introduced it by saying, "The word of Yahweh came unto me, saying," but when he was about to relate a prophetic vision he had seen, he prefaces his description by informing us that there was upon me the hand of Yahweh, and he carried me out in spirit of Yahweh. When in spirit, then, he both sees visions and hears, and then proceeds to narrate. This was the case with John. He was in spirit, and then he beheld, or was caused to see, what was invisible to men in their normal state. Hitherto he had seen nothing, but as soon as he came to be in spirit, he beheld a vision, and continued in spirit so long as there was anything to be seen. When the vision disappeared, he was again as usual, and proceeded to write whatever might be communicated. This was the case while writing the letters to the seven ecclesias. But when he had finished these, and the time had come to exhibit another vision, he tells us that, preliminary to beholding it, immediately I was in spirit, and behold, a throne appeared. Chapter 4, verse 2. And in chapter 17, verse 3, "And he carried me away in spirit into a wilderness, and I saw a woman." And so in chapter 21, verse 10. Hence, from the general use of the phrase in this book, we are to understand that when in spirit, John was in such a relation to deity as that he could see the things of deity, which were known only to his spirit. As Paul has said, "The things of the deity knoweth no man, but the spirit of the deity." In order, therefore, to know these things by primary visual representation, a man must be as John was, in spirit. In the Lord's Day. Having ascertained what the apostle meant by being in spirit, the next consideration is, where was he conveyed to? And then, what did he behold there? In regard to the first inquiry, he tells us that being in spirit, he was in a certain day, en te kuriake hemera. He was in the kuriake day. And what day, it may be asked, was that? Anyone acquainted with the apostle's faith and hope will be able to answer the question readily. He was in that day which Abraham rejoiced to see, John 8, verse 56, the day that Paul said should not come until an apostasy had been thoroughly matured and had become ripe for destruction, 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 3-8, the day in which, Paul proclaimed at Athens, the deity will judge the inhabited earth in righteousness in a man, en Andri, whom he hath appointed, having offered assurance to all, having raised him from among the dead. Acts 17, verse 31. This was the great day, styled in Joel the great and terrible day of Yahweh, chapter 2, verse 31, and in Malachi, the day that shall come, burning like a furnace, in which all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith Yahweh of armies, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. And ye that fear my name shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall work, saith Yahweh of armies. Chapter 4, verses 1-3. This was the day that Peter referred to on the day of Pentecost, when he quoted the words of Joel and told his hearers that it shall be every one who shall surname by the name of Yahweh shall be delivered. John stood up with him in the same proclamation, and all the saints, enlightened by their teaching, regarded it with great interest and expectation. And it was into this day that John, being in spirit, was conveyed in vision. What then should such a day be called? This day hath Yahweh made. Psalm 118, verse 24. John calls it Kyriake. But why? Because it is the day when the only potentate in the saints shall lord it over mankind, when those represented by the symbolical Son of Man in the midst of the seven lightstands shall be the sovereign power of the earth to its utmost bounds. This power will be the Lord of all. And the word for Lord in the Greek is Kurios, from which comes Kyriake, pertaining to a Lord. This word is only used in one other place in the New Testament, as in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 20. This is not to eat Kyriakon supper, which is properly rendered the Lord's supper. We may therefore, with the same propriety, style the day the Lord's Day, only being careful not to confound it with Sunday, which is never so styled in the Scriptures, but rather the first day of the week and the eighth day. Upwards of 1750 years have elapsed since John was in spirit, since he was in the Lord's Day in spirit, and that day has not come yet. Hence John was only conveyed into it in vision. Bodily, he was in Patmos, but mentally, he was beyond the resurrection of the dead, by which the great and terrible day of Yahweh is introduced. He was taught this dramatically, for he first hears behind him a loud voice as of a trumpet speaking to him, and saying what is written in the 11th verse. This was one state of things, and related to those things which were behind, Philippians 3 verse 13, or as expressed in verse 19, the things which are. He then turned, as he says in verse 12, an action which brought him round and placed him opposite to those things which are before, or which shall be after these, the things which are behind. Being now face to face with the Son of Man, he was in another state of things, the last. In this last state, he is told not to fear. And this exhortation to confidence and courage falls upon his ears while he is recovering from the death state. When I saw like a Son of Man in the midst of the seven lightstands, I fell at his feet as dead. Verses 13 and 17. It was necessary to introduce this action to represent that this vision related to things to be manifested after the resurrection of John and his brethren from the dead, who are also to be raised by the Spirit, in which he then was, and which is dramatically intimated by the right hand of the symbol being laid upon him, which is symbolical of the power of the Spirit. The trumpet said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. This was the loud voice of the Spirit, who said, write for a scroll, and send to the seven ecclesias in the proconsular Asia. For when the letters are written, they are introduced as from him seen by John among the lightstands, and conclude by saying, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hearken to what the Spirit saith to the ecclesias. What John beheld then, and what he has described as the subject of his first vision, is a representation of the eternal Spirit, manifested first in the things behind, as the Alpha and the First, and afterwards in the things before, as the Omega and the Last, and that between these two sets of things, or manifestations, is the opening of the invisible, and the deliverance of the saints from death. In this turning point, or epoch, between the Alpha things and the Omega things of the spirit manifestation, the key power unlocks the gates of the invisible and sets the prisoners free from the bonds of death, so that when the Alphas of the spirit shall become the Omegas, they will be able to say, as the constituents of the one Yahweh and one name, I am the first and the last and the living one, and I was dead, and behold, I am living in, ace in for during, the aeons of the aeons, or the thousand years. Amen. Not that he shall live no longer, but seeing that the Apocalypse treats almost solely of the millennial day and its antecedents, the duration of the living one is only relatively, not absolutely, expressed. As Jesus taught, they who have been accounted worthy of that aeon, and to attain to that resurrection, which is from among the dead, cannot die any more, for they are equal to angels, and are sons of the Deity, being sons of the resurrection. Luke 20, verse 35. They live for the Olam, we add, the millennium, and beyond. But it is only necessary to say that they live for the thousand years. For the resurrected who live all this time will live also beyond and die no more. The first vision John beheld is the same that Daniel saw, and the proximate condition of both seers in beholding it was the same. Daniel, as well as John, became the subject of symbolical death and resurrection. He speaks of himself while entering, being in, and coming out of the death state, in these words in chapter 8, verses 17 and 18, saying, When the appearance of a man came near where I stood, I was afraid and fell upon my face, and was in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground. But he touched me and caused me to stand up upon my feet. He is still more explicit in defining his condition analogous to death in chapter 10, verse 8, saying, I was left alone, as the dead are when buried, and I saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my brightness was changed within me into corruption, and I retained no strength, neither was there breath left in me. When a man is in a deep sleep, prostrate upon the ground, destitute of strength and breath, his internal light extinguished, and corruption in the place thereof, he is dead. When, therefore, these things are affirmed of living men, as of Daniel and John, they are symbolically dead. Zechariah was in the same death state, and was wakened out of his sleep, that he might behold the seven-branched golden lightstands, which, when burning with the golden oil, illuminates the earth with glory, after the resurrection of the dead. Chapter 4, verse 1. These conditions, then, happened to these prophets that they might be testified, and that they might constitute boundary marks, by which the reader might know whether the visions recorded related to the times before or after the resurrection of the dead. The spirit man John saw said to him, after he had laid the power of his right hand upon him, by which he was brought out of the death state, I am living in the aeons, or thousand years, by which we are taught that the spirit did not refer to any period of that duration before the resurrection, but to a course of a thousand years after that event, dramatized in John's person.